Welcome to Look Ahead Radio with Tom Arms and Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints around the world with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. We're looking forward to today's conversation. Find out what's the status of primaries, interest, that is, there in the United Kingdom. Tom joining us from London, England, where it's going on towards midnight as this program is being aired. So this portion has been pre-recorded, as I do every day or every week with Tom. And with that, Tom, good evening to you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Lockwood, as always.
And so let's start with some of the interesting things. I did see there's a major storm making its way towards the UK as we speak. It has a name associated with it. So my question is, how's the weather in your neighborhood?
Well, it's Storm Kira, and it's here. It's actually not too bad today, but we've had 7 people die in Europe this week, basically falling trees.
Uh-huh.
You know, people are walking their dogs or driving along the roads, and all of a sudden, you know, a tree falls over.
Right.
Bang, you're dead.
Exactly, and falling Which limbs, one? Too. Yes, that sort of thing. All right, so is this unusual weather for you?
No, we get a lot of storms this time of year. You know, this is the storm season, winter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's generally very wet, and the winds kick up. You know, we don't have many hurricanes as such, but, you know, the winter is a wet and windy season.
All right, what's it like in London? Because London is really, well, I say landlocked, it is, it's got the Thames, but you're well inland. What's, do you feel the experience, do you have, you know, any kind of sense as a result of these storms?
Oh, yes, no, we had one person die in London.
Mm.
When a tree fell on them when they were out walking the dog. And so it gets quite windy. I remember we did have a hurricane about, the only hurricane I can remember was about 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that literally wiped out entire forests in the south of England.
Wow. All right. So this is not unusual weather. Okay. This is Storm Kira. You're in the midst of it as we speak. So,
Well, actually, you know, it's died down. I think it's passing over.
Okay.
Or has passed over. Most of it's now on the continent. I think we're probably all right here in the UK.
All right. Other than that, let's talk about, the events there in, your neighborhood. And I'm curious, with the temperatures, is it cool? Is it normal weather for you at this time?
It's cold. It's okay. Quite cold at the moment. It's getting down close to freezing, you know, maybe upper 30s, low 40s sort of thing, which is a bit on the cool side for this time of year. Last week it was in the low 50s. You know, London itself is quite a temperate climate. It very rarely gets above 80, 85 in the summer. And very rarely drops below freezing.
All right. Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio with us, joining us from London, England. Tom, got a question for you. The Oscars conducted this past weekend. Much to do about that. Of course, it's interesting. A foreign film winning the Best Picture. That's
Well, it's not so much a foreign film, a subtitled foreign film.
Yeah, yes.
And a Korean. I mean, you know, it's not unusual. I mean, lots of British films have won Oscars. But to have a subtitled Korean film, I think, is a very welcome difference. You know, it sort of opens it up. I'm all in favor of these things becoming more open to the rest of the world. It just makes it more interesting.
Okay. Are the Oscars considered something of significance there in the UK?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
Of course, you know, the British have their own version for BAFTA, the British Academy for Film and Television Awards. And the film 1917, which is British, swept the boards for that. And generally there's feeling that the Oscars, unless it's a really good foreign film, are dominated by the Americans. Which, to a certain degree, they are. But then, you know, the Academy is an American Academy, so you would expect that. But certainly, you know, Hollywood is the film capital of the world, and people stay up late to to watch the Oscar ceremonies and fall asleep in front of the television.
Right. That was the question I was asking, so people were watching. All right, moving on from there, let's talk about two other social items. I'm just curious if they're still making the getting any ink, shall we say, there in the UK and probably in the continent as well. Two items, Harvey Weinstein, Jeffrey Epstein. Has there been much coverage about those two scandals?
Not lately. There was a lot of coverage a few weeks ago. It's died down a bit now.
And in the midst of all of this, the trials are not generating a lot of conversation, but I've got a feeling that events otherwise in the States have generated some conversation. One other quick note, and we were talking about the area of entertainment. The announcement a week ago about Rush Limbaugh announcing that he had lung cancer. Did that make the airwaves or the
media? That did make the airwaves, not positively. I mean,
my surprise.
Nobody's pleased when anyone gets lung cancer. I think what shocked people was Trump presenting, or Melania Trump presenting, the Medal of Freedom to Rush Limbaugh in the middle of the State of the Union address. That was universally condemned,
really,
by the European press, because Rush Limbaugh is seen as one of the most divisive political figures.
Oh my goodness.
In the United States, and, you know, to award a Medal of Freedom to someone for being politically divisive doesn't go over well with a lot of people.
All right. And that's your observations, but he's not politically divisive.
No, I'm basically quoting almost every newspaper.
Very interesting. All right. Well, since we're talking politics, let's talk about the New Hampshire, primaries. Much coverage?
Yes, a lot of coverage.
Really?
And it's really interesting. You know, Biden is not doing well in the individual primaries as he is in the national polling. And there's a lot of speculation that he may be on his way out.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that Pete is doing so well is really raising quite a few eyebrows. And they're beginning to think that he could, you know, that he is a serious contender. A lot of people here are saying that it's now.
Whoops. Somebody disagrees.
A three-way race.
Uh-huh.
Between Bernie, Pete, and maybe Amy Klobuchar.
Mm-hmm. What about Elizabeth Warren? Any interest in her?
Yes, there's interest in Elizabeth Warren, but she's sort of seen as the female version of Bernie Sanders.
Hmm.
And so, you know, you either choose Elizabeth Warren or you choose Bernie Sanders, but you can't choose both. And Bernie seems to be doing better than Elizabeth Warren. So, you know, it's she's dropping down, if you like, in the expectations here in Europe. Of course, we don't know about Bloomberg. You know, he's holding his fire and holding on to his billions until the right moment to enter the race.
Well, no, he is.
We have no idea what those billions, what impact they're going to have on his race for the White House.
Well, he has, for all intents and purposes, entered the race, and he is spending a lot of money even as we speak. I want to go back to the issue of Elizabeth Warren. You mentioned the comparative, if you will, with Bernie Sanders. That whole socialist approach, is that something that's appealing, if you will, for these candidates, that they're looking at these candidates and thinking, these are the kind of candidates we would like to, as members of the European community, like to do business with?
Well, you know, it depends on whether you're a socialist or not. I sort of draw parallels with the recent British elections. And Britain also is a, you know, like America, is what I call a socially conservative country. It can be politically socialist or social democrat at times, but generally it's a socially conservative country. And we had our election just a few months ago, mm-hmm. or weeks ago, really. And Jeremy Corbyn put forward a very left-wing agenda. He saw an opportunity of the disarray within the Conservative Party to really get, you know, this far-left agenda, which he's always pushed his entire life, actually enacted. The result was that people rejected him completely.
Do you think that same situation might have... Well,
I think if the candidate, if the Democratic Party's candidate moves too far to the left, then because America is a socially conservative country, that it will cost them.
All right. Our guest this afternoon, this evening, actually, is Tom Arms, and we're pre-recording this portion of the program. Just to remind you, we're getting viewpoints from around the world. That's the reason we enjoy talking to him every Wednesday. You're listening to Viewpoints on the Talk Station, FM 107, AM 1240.
Look Ahead Radio will return in just a moment. Welcome back to Look Ahead Radio. Here is Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints around the world with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and LookAhead Radio. And again, this portion of the program has been pre-recorded to accommodate his sleeping schedule. It's going on towards midnight there in London where we find Tom. And Tom, we were chatting a moment ago about the campaigns, particularly the New Hampshire primary, and now, of course, moving on to the Nevada primary. And you mentioned Pete Buttigieg has caught the attention also of the European community. Is he growing in popularity, or is it just a matter of they're fascinated by the whole process?
He is growing in popularity. Hmm. He's seen as an intellectual, a highly intelligent young man, and that strikes a chord with a lot of Europeans. They like their politicians to come over as a bit of an intellectual. But I think also they think that he might have a chance of beating Trump, partly because he's gay. One of Trump's key weapons, political weapons, is mockery.
Mm-hmm.
And the feeling is that if he started attacking Pete for being gay, it would backfire badly.
Well, it's one item, you say that, but there's one item that doesn't get a lot of publicity. And by the way, there is a particular case where an individual was supporting Pete Buttigieg and then in the casual conversation discovered that Pete's background and his...
I heard about that in Iowa.
Yeah.
And wanted to change the vote.
So there's a lot of this that's just not getting a lot of disclosure. But regardless, it is interesting that he's showing a great interest or is of great interest to the European community.
It's going to be a very interesting issue. I may be wrong. I don't think that the president, who, as we all know, uses mockery quite mm-hmm. a bit, will be able to use Pete's sexuality as part of his weaponry.
But he's not even his opponents in the Democrat Party are not using it, so it may not be an issue. Let's move on to other items here, Tom. I want to chat with you about, well, the outcome and the fallout from the impeachment trial. You have some concerns related to Colonel Vindman, I guess?
Well, not concerns. I actually can see, and most of the press here are very critical of the dismissal of both Sondland and Vindman.
Uh-huh.
Personally, I can see why they were dismissed, because especially Sondland was a political appointment.
Mm-hmm.
And as a political appointment, I think the president can quite rightly demand a certain degree of personal loyalty. Vindman was on his personal staff, but he wasn't a political appointment. He was an appointment based on merit and his career in the army. And so to a certain degree, I can see that it would be difficult for them to continue to work with President Trump. I think that the dismissal of Vindman's brother is getting a lot of bad press. It's coming over as rather petty.
Okay. And it's Yevgeny Vindman, twin brother, no less, also in the army. I want to go to Sondland here for a moment. You know, he was criticized during his activity as the EU ambassador. Am I correct?
EU ambassador of the EU, yeah.
And, of course, all the money he spent on refurbishment of the ambassador's facilities there, the home, et cetera. And, of course, there was some criticism of him being pretty nosy and getting into affairs that really didn't belong to him. I'm wondering, so was Sondland well-regarded as the ambassador?
You know, the United States has a traditional policy of basically selling their ambassadorships.
Right.
So most of your ambassadors to senior positions are political. They are not in Europe. They are career diplomats.
Okay.
And so most of your ambassadors are not that highly regarded. I can tell you that the American ambassador here in London is not highly regarded at all. And what generally happens is that the person who does most of the work in the embassy is what's called the DCM, or Deputy Chief of Mission.
Mm-hmm.
And he is a career diplomat.
Talking about international relations, and this is a topic that is not mentioned in our list, but I do want to bring it up very quickly, the topic of the coronavirus and how well that's being covered and significance that is being given there in the European community at this point.
Extremely well covered. We have our cases here. We have 8 cases. And in the UK, they have introduced measures to forcibly quarantine people. We've had a couple of doctors' surgeries shut down because in one case, a doctor has come down with coronavirus. And so it's being treated very seriously. I wrote a piece which was quite well received, got a lot of comment, in which I warned that the coronavirus could have political impact in China, simply because a lot of people in China are feeling that the government has not done enough, and that this could have political repercussions for Xi Jinping.
In light of the fact that he's controlling the media and every aspect of government, one is a little cynical as to what impact this could have on his political career, since he's pretty much the de facto emperor. Speaking of China, let's talk about this. Equifax and China. That's an interesting story.
Yeah, it is an interesting story. And again, that's gotten a certain amount of criticism. I can see both sides of this. A lot of people are saying, this is a political attack on China. Yes, Equifax is no doubt that it was, I'm certain that
it was hacked.
William Barr is correct that these 4 military officers from the People's Liberation Army were behind the hack of Equifax. What they say is, they're making a big hoo-ha about this. At the same time, they're still downplaying the hack by the Russians during the 2016 election.
Oh my goodness.
why do they focus so much on the Chinese and ignore the Russians?
Okay. We'll move on.
I think there are reasons for it.
Well,
I think that here in Europe, people are concerned about the military threat from Russia.
Well,
in the United States are concerned not so much about the military threat, but the political and economic threat of China.
You say that, and I find it interesting. It segues beautifully. Let's talk about this very quickly. Huawei, of which, of course, China has a relationship now with the UK and providing 5G technology. Yet the other members of the United Kingdom,
Five Eyes Agreement,
Canada and Australia are all not, they're prohibiting any use of Huawei material or equipment and services, and they have advised the UK, which is theoretically the protector of those two countries, that the UK is making a big mistake in its relationship with Huawei. What's the fallout there?
There are a lot of people here in the UK who agree with them, and there are a lot of people within the Conservative Party who agree with them.
Mm-hmm.
But Boris Johnson is not one of them, and neither is Dominic Raab, who's the Foreign Secretary. And, they believe that they need this 5G technology for their own next generation of commercial telecommunications.
Well, this is going to impact trade, is it not?
Like a continuous succession of American officials into 10 Downing Street
mm-hmm.
to basically say, you cannot. You must not buy this 5G technology from China because it is going to damage the Five Eyes Agreement, and it may even damage these much vaunted trade talks between the US and UK,
mm-hmm.
which you're counting on to dig you out of the Brexit hole.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, because obviously the communications between the UK and the United States are key for both security issues and, of course, the partnerships that we enjoy.
Let's make this clear. They are absolutely key. There are five members of the Five Eyes Agreement, mm-hmm. but there are two most important members, and they are the U.S. and the UK.
Right.
The National Security Agency and the General Communication Headquarters in Cheltenham. And there are plans, if anything were ever to happen to the National Security Agency's offices, to move everything over to the UK.
All right. No, we've talked about this in the past.
We are the backup.
All right. We're going to get back to more here in just a moment on Viewpoints Around the World with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio here on the Talk Station FM 107 AM 1240.
Look Ahead Radio will return in just a moment. We now return to Look Ahead Radio. Here is Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints Around the World with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. Joining us from London, England, this portion of the program has been pre-recorded. Tom, let's talk about a few other items. We chatted a moment ago about the events around the world, and particularly in China. I want to bring up the issue of Iran, and you've got a note here, the Iran attack.
Yeah, we were initially told there were a couple of people who had headaches as a result of the Iran attack on the American base in Iraq.
Right.
And those two people have grown to 109.
Right. And with severe head injuries as well.
With severe head injuries. And it's very interesting that, Trump has not really said a great deal about this. This is all coming out of the Pentagon. After the attack, he poo-pooed the attack, saying it wasn't a serious attack. Let's not worry about it. You know, there's a few people who've got headaches and so forth. It was obviously an attempt, or it's coming over now as an obvious attempt to de-escalate the tension.
Is that
between Iran and the U.S.
Is that considered a good thing or a bad thing?
I think it's probably considered a neutral good thing, bordering on good. But the problem is it does damage his credibility. That, he picks the facts to fit his political bend at the particular time. And you just don't know whether you can believe him.
Well, the question I have here is, if you are correct, it's to de-escalate the situation. Why get
yes,
into...
Yes, but not by lying.
Well, how do you de-escalate?
If you do it by lying,
How do you...
When can you believe it?
Well, how do you de-escalate it if you're going to continue to, harp on and point fingers? This is one of those situations where, Tom, you're getting it both ways.
Well, I'll have to get that job in the Situation Room in the White House.
Well, you're getting it both ways. But all right, let's move on. Palestinian violence and the situation there is getting out of hand, is it not?
Well, yeah, we've had quite a bit. We've had a lot of violence in Israel and Palestine in just a few weeks or since the peace plan was put forward. We had three Palestinians killed, 12 Israeli soldiers hurt, Israeli police officer and soldier wounded. We've had the Palestinians firing mortars from Gaza and the Israelis responding with airstrikes. Obviously, the Palestinians are very, very angry as what they think or what they regard as a settlement, basically terms of surrender, imposed on them by Israel and the United States, which has ceased to become anything even approaching an honest broker.
Okay. So,
So they see it as, that they have to go turn to violence. They don't have any other option.
Oh, wow. All right. I tend to disagree with you on that one, but, we'll continue on. Let's talk about other, interruptions and we'll move it back to the UK. Irish elections. What's happening there?
Well, now this is very interesting. You've got a three-way split, between Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, which are the two centrist parties, and Sinn Féin, which is the, political wing of the IRA. And there's a very strong possibility they're still having coalition talks that you actually might see Sinn Féin in the Irish government in a coalition with Fianna Fáil. That's a very strong possibility. And that is amazing. I mean, you know, 20 years ago, when I first came to this country, Sinn Féin was, you know, polling maybe 2% of the vote.
What was a terrorist? It was considered a terrorist organization.
Yes, it was considered a terrorist organization. Now, this raises the issue of the reunification of Ireland.
Uh-huh.
Because that is the reason Sinn Féin exists. But they didn't campaign on that so much. They campaigned as a left-wing socialist party, wanting to spend more money on public services. Because both Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have let those things slip. And that's where they got all their votes. However, and that's why people voted for them. But you know for a fact that, you know, their central plank is a reunification. And they've sort of kept it quiet. They haven't really gone on about it, banged the drum too much. But it was in their manifesto that they want a referendum on the reunification of Ireland within 5 years.
Okay, now my question to you is, what impact does this have on, and we haven't talked about it in quite some time, Brexit?
It will have a huge impact on Brexit. It will have a huge impact on the UK. If Ireland is reunited, basically you had for years the Catholics fighting for reunification, literally fighting for unification. And the Protestants saying that if the island was reunified, they would fight against it. If you have a situation where there's a referendum and a majority vote narrowly in favor of reunification, then you open the can of worms of renewed violence.
Right.
Within Ireland.
I know.
And this time it would be headed by the Protestants, not by the Catholics. The other thing about Sinn Féin is it is demanding that the EU support the reunification and make it part of the Brexit negotiations.
Well, the Brexit, of course, is still hanging there in the wind. What's the status? Obviously,
it's hanging in the wind, as you said. There's been no real proposals yet, and not expected for a few weeks yet to really start serious negotiations. They have been talking about. Recently, Boris Johnson said we should go for an Australia-type deal.
Mm-hmm.
And the EU negotiator said, but Australia doesn't have a trade deal with us.
Right. I was wondering what kind of deal that would be. Or the Canadian deal as well.
Canadians do. It took like 10 years to negotiate, and we've got like 10 months.
Well, can't you use that? Can't you use Canada as your template and just follow their?
No, because it's totally different products and laws and regulations and everything else.
Well,
it's very complicated.
Yeah, you should be more like Canada anyhow.
So should you.
Then you wouldn't have to worry about Huawei. All right. Talking with Tom Harms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. Tom, let's talk about Germany and the states there. By the way, Angela Merkel, she's stepping down here soon. So
Well, she has stepped down as leader of the Christian Democratic Union, but not as chancellor. And she probably won't step down until the elections in 2021. But what we've got in her designated successor, who was until this week leader of the CDU, is a lady called Annegret Kramp-Karrenbauer.
Mm-hmm.
And because that's such a long name, everyone refers to as AKK, has stepped down as leader of the CDU. So there is no successor at the moment to Angela Merkel. Now, the question is, why did she step down? Because she is perceived to have lost control of the party after elections, state elections in the state of Thuringia.
Right. Okay.
Now, what happened was the right wing, there's a policy within the CDU that it in no way ever cooperates in any way whatsoever with the Alternative for Deutschland.
Right.
It's just a complete no-no. But what happened was they had elections. The Alternative for Deutschland did reasonably well. And they got together with the CDU politicians in Thuringia, and together they voted to put in a politician from a third party, the Federal Democrats or Free Democrats, as the state premier. Now, this was seen as an absolute no-no. You cannot cooperate in any way with the Alternative for Deutschland, and AKK was seen as losing control and so was forced to resign.
Summarily, okay. Just curious about that. And, of course, Germany's a key player in the European Union. Very quickly, before we go to the break, how much of an impact does this all have on the European Union?
Well, I think what's more important is the fact that the Alternative for Deutschland is a rising power in the eastern half of Germany, and that will have an effect on right-wing populist movements right throughout Europe and the EU. And so, you know, it's seen as yet another shift to the right within the EU.
Okay. Tom Arms with LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio with us this afternoon. And again, this portion has been pre-recorded. Come back. We've got two items we're going to touch on. We want to find out about the British transport revolution. And then we'll wrap it up with restrooms for dogs at the airport. Maybe that's part of that revolution. You're listening to Viewpoints Around the World.
Look Ahead Radio will return in just a moment. Welcome back to Look Ahead Radio. Here is Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints Around the World with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. Coming up, two items I want to chat with him about. One is restrooms for dogs at the airport. But before we get to that, let's talk about the British transport revolution. What is that revolution? Does it have to do with dogs at airports by any chance, Tom?
No, nothing to do with dogs at airports. It's Boris Johnson wanting to spend huge amounts of money, about $200 billion. Ooh. On putting in a high-speed train from London to Birmingham and maybe connecting it on to Manchester and Liverpool, digging up forests, destroying villages and everything. So it's a lot of environmentalists are opposed to it.
And how is
but
that?
Also spending a lot of money on cycle paths. He wants to put another 4,000 buses on the roads and so forth and so on. And a lot of people are saying, you know, this is great, some people, and other people saying, where's the money coming from?
Right, right. And by the way, well, as be part of the European, the breakup with the European Union, Brexit, all the money you'll save from that. How well received is this idea?
It varies. Initially, part of the problem is that the company which has the contract to build this thing started off wanting to, saying it would cost something like $30 billion. And, of course, the costs have just escalated and escalated and escalated. About a third of it is already built. And they really came down to the choice, you know, do we carry on already having spent and built a third of this railway line? Or do we say, you know, why throw money down a rat hole? It's just getting more and more expensive. And call it quits now, and they've decided that they're going to carry on. They can't stop.
You simply go to Boston and see the success of Tip O'Neill and the Big Dig, as it's known, and the fact that it too was a major financial hole in the ground as well as a physical hole in the ground, but it did get completed. All right, let's wrap it up with, since we're talking about transportation, restrooms for dogs at the airport. You've got to be kidding me.
No, I'm not. It's Itami Airport in Japan. And they don't call them restrooms. They call them comfort rooms.
Okay. And for dogs?
For dogs, complete with a nice thick pole. So the little boy dogs can cock their legs.
Oh, my goodness. And you've got to be kidding me. How well received is this?
Well, it's going over very well.
How many people
are using Itami Airport and have a dog that they're carrying with them?
Do they travel with their – by the way, is traveling with animals considered positive in the European community as well?
Oh, yeah. No, it's allowed.
Oh, my goodness.
Internationally, as long as there's no quarantine at the other end. It used to be in the UK, because the UK has no rabies, that you had to have your animal quarantined for, I think, 4 months if you brought it into the country. But now, if it has a rabies vaccination certificate, you can bring it straight in.
Okay. I just can't, I can't fathom anybody wanting to travel with their animals.
Well, some people don't like to be parted from their animals. I'm very fond of our dog Bear.
I cannot. Yeah, but traveling with them is such a challenge. Okay, so they have and this with
well, suppose you're moving house.
Where's the airport again?
Itami Airport in Japan. I T A M I.
Okay, and they have a. They have a comfort room for dogs. As always, an interesting conclusion to our weekly conversations with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. And Tom, as always, thanks for being with us. Look forward to next week.
Thank you, Lockwood.
Viewpoints around the world.
Look Ahead Radio is a production of The Talk Station.